up this week in the Triton Spotlight, we'll take you on the water to talk all things UC San Diego rowing with Annika Ford. The third-year Triton relives a magical weekend outside Philadelphia where the Tritons competed for a CAA title last week. How did the team get an edge before the race? And what drew Annika to the sport? You'll find out in this week's Triton Spotlight. Plus, it's the return of our popular Quick Pick segment. Annika tells us about her favorite aisle in the supermarket and her controversial ice cream flavor of choice. All that and more comes your way in a moment when we sit down with rowing's Annika Ford in this week's Triton Spotlight. Welcome to episode 97 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. Whether you found us on your favorite podcast platform or on ucsdtritons.com, we're so happy you've taken the time to join us this week. Before we get to this week's Triton Spotlight, let's go around campus. After finishing second at the CAA Championship Saturday, four from women's rowing earned all-conference honors, including rowers Bianca Tung, Sabrina Koldinger, and Sophia Gordon. Meantime, Coach Colin Truex captured Coach of the Year recognition. Baseball's Anthony Ianson was named Big West Pitcher of the Week after hurling an impressive complete game Friday, and closer Isaac Martinez is a finalist for the Dick Houser Trophy, awarded annually to the game's top player, as voted on by the National Baseball Writers. Six Triton softball players earned all Big West accolades. Women's basketball announced a pair of incoming transfers expected to bolster the Triton's roster. And the women's volleyball coaching staff is rounding into form. You can learn more about all of those accolades and stories on ucsdtritons.com. And the final University Credit Union Athletes of the Week for the 2023-24 school year are baseball catcher Emiliano Gonzalez and the women's rowing Varsity 8 Plus crew. Congrats to all of the honorees. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with third-year Triton Annika Ford from the women's rowing team. Annika, tremendous weekend in New Jersey for the team. What was the most thrilling part for you personally?
Oh my gosh. I think it always is with CAAs, especially just being the only California team, is just kind of showing up out of the blue. No one knows what you're going to pull. You have no idea what else anyone else is going to pull. And it really almost feels like the first race of the season because you just have no idea what the race is going to turn out like. So I think just that nervousness at that start line, it was just so memorable because all of us are just like, well, we've had this whole season lead up to this moment and we have no idea what we're going to do, but we just trust each other and we're just going to pull as hard as we can. And to our surprise, but not too much of a surprise, we won the heats, which was huge. And it made us really confident and excited. So I think this whole weekend, just one word to encapsulate it was just how excited we were to just be there and just trust each other and have fun.
How do you prepare for something like CAAs, right? Where you're competing on Cooper River against, as you said, teams you haven't competed against in a year. So how do you prepare for that versus, you know, other competitions here on the West Coast where it's probably a lot of the same schools week in and week out?
Yeah. I'd say the biggest thing is it's the mentality with it because it's so easy to get stressed out because there's so many unknowns. There's so many things you don't know, you know, like when we're here day in, day out going against USD, Sacramento, all these other teams here, we kind of know what to expect and we know what to kind of expect just because of all the years we've been with them and all the times we've done duels, we've done races. But I think really the biggest thing you have to do is stay calm when you're going against all those East Coast teams because they're big. They have a lot more money than we do. They have a lot more things than we do. And it's so easy to just get in your own head about it. You know, like we were all laughing when we were at the award ceremony. All these girls are at least, you know, on average, probably 2-3 inches taller than all of us, you know, what, like very strong, powerful looking women, not to say that we aren't, but just, you know, we definitely are on the smaller side and it's so easy to get in your head about that. So the mental preparation is huge. And I think our coaches, Colin and Kim, did such a great job this year of letting us know that everyone expects big things out of us, but to make sure that we don't get worried about it and don't get scared about those expectations because it's so easy to. So yeah, we had really good help this year, just with the coaches, with some of our staff, just to chat with us before we went to CAAs. You know, I think of course the physical stuff is important, but yeah, mentality is a huge, huge thing with rowing, especially just going into all the unknowns with it.
Being an East Coast based conference, the CAA, the championships in New Jersey, was there anything to, I mean, rowing, you're generally on the water early in the morning anyway, but now you add in the 3-hour time change. Was that an extra layer, or was that something that you were able to easily overcome?
Oh yeah, it was pretty easy for us. We were laughing because the races were later, around 10 most days. And so that pretty much perfectly lines up with our practice days, because usually, you know, practice starts 5:45 in the morning and runs to about 8:30. So 7 a.m. our time, 10 their time. It's like peak kind of awake for us.
Perfect.
Middle of the day training. Yeah. So we were just excited, you know, because for these teams, 10 a.m. is not a great time. That's kind of usually when they're done with practice and they're going to school. So we were like, this is kind of on our side. So we were excited about that.
That's fantastic. And then on Friday, as you mentioned, doing so well in the heat, finishing first, to move to the grand final on Saturday, how much confidence did you get going into Saturday based on what you accomplished on Friday?
I think the biggest thing about our team that I just love is we are not a cocky team. You know, we are very, very humble. You know, we won, and we won comfortably, you know, but we knew that every boat in that race won comfortably. So I don't know how familiar you are with rowing, or anyone listening is with rowing, but we have a thing called stroke rate. So it's how many strokes of the oar goes in the water per minute. And we usually, races in collegiate, you're usually doing about 35 to 38 strokes per minute. And so at the end of our race, we were so far ahead, our Cox and Bianca decided to make the call to bring us down to a 33, which is relatively slow for a race. And we, you know, had so much trust in that call and her, you know, telling us to conserve our energy and, you know, relax. It made us excited and confident to go into Saturday, but you never want to discount, because in rowing, I don't know if it's like this with a lot of other sports, you know, heats are important, but they don't tell you everything. There's always tricks up someone else's sleeve, you know, because with us, it's top three goes to grand finals. So all you need to do is get a position in the top three out of the four. So we never knew like what Drexel was going to pull out, you know, what Villanova, those were our two closest teams to us. So we, you know, we were confident, but we wanted to stay humble because you never know what to expect.
That makes total sense. And that strategy involved is something that, in this case for Bianca, as your coxswain, having to decide that in that moment, but you all believing in her and knowing and trusting that that's the right move. That part of the teamwork, I think, is something that we all from the shore don't see.
No. And I think that was what made this team so special this year. You know, like for us to go from, I think we were, I don't know what we were overall, but last year we were second to last in our race. And, you know, not much has changed in our lineup. We have a couple new girls in the boat, but I think the trust that we had this year in each other and Bianca was just monumental. And for her to make these calls, not just in this race, but other past races, is what made this team and this boat go so fast and so well. It's because at the end of the day, we knew what she said is gonna work out. You know, we have no second guesses, no kind of like second thoughts about what she says, because we just fully trust her to make the right choice for all of us.
So going into the grand final on Saturday, the Tritons finished second and get the silver medal. Take us through that day and what that was like.
Oh my gosh. Man, what was that like? I think the big thing for us was we got to sleep in till 8, which is huge. I know a lot of other sports and people hear that and they're like, what, sleep until 8? But yeah, our bus didn't leave till 8. So that was amazing. So we all got to eat our breakfast and kind of cool down and get ready for the day. And it was the first time that the Varsity 8 was the last race of the day. So it was kind of nerve-wracking for us because we saw our fours go down. We saw the junior varsity, the second JV go down, and then we were the last race. So just the anticipation and oh my goodness, but we were really excited because we got to finally have our fours and our JV cheer on for us as we try to cross that finish line. So, you know, I think the biggest thing about our team this year is just, we do not take anything seriously. We just try to laugh it off. And, you know, everyone around us is training and they have their rowing machines out and they're doing, all of us are just like, oh my God, these women are so strong. And, you know, doing what looks like hard workouts on the rowing machines before their race. And we're all kind of like, oh my gosh. And we're all sitting in a circle. One of our teammates is just like messing around and just like making jokes. And, you know, I think like with us, we always make the joke that we're like racehorses. You know, you just got to keep us focused and having fun. And it's so easy for us to just get too stressed and too overwhelmed. So yeah, just like staying loose. We were really lucky. We had our weights coach, John, with us. And so he led us through amazing warmups, got us warm. You know, we're one of the only teams really just like running around and doing no rowing machine workout before. So I don't know. I think all of us were like, you know, just like the funny Californians flying, running around, just kind of making jokes, being loud. But yeah, just had such a blast getting ready for the race and nervous, but confident and on the water. It was, you know, Philly, this is my second time racing at Philly. So I'm not super, super familiar with the course, but I kind of know it from just a couple experiences with it. But the water is quite brown, but you know, every waterway is different. But it was so green and all of us were having so much fun just like looking around at the trees and the grass and the turtles and all the ducks and geese. And I think like it makes you calm down a little bit. And Bianca took us to like this other part of the course that I guess a lot of other coxswains didn't know about. So we're in this little secluded area that was so beautiful and so still. And there's all these like trees and beautiful like landscapes around us. And it was just a really nice way to kind of like center and get ready for the crazy 7 minutes that were ahead of us. And we saw a little turtle on a log, and we always kind of have this thing, like a race day animal is usually what we love to like kind of see, like, what is the animal? So a couple times it's been like a deer or it'll be like a swan, but yeah, so it was a turtle for our race, the grand finals. And yeah, after that, kind of like calm, getting ready for the day, we show up, we're at the start line, all of us are nervous, but I think like every single one of us was just like, we know we're going to do as best we can. And if that's second, if that's third, if that's not placing, like we know that every single girl in that boat is going to push to the absolute well and just have the best race of their year right there. So yeah, we were just ready. I think all of us, like, we wanted that race to just be one of those races where we left everything out on the water and had no second guesses about what we could have done or what we should have done. But yeah, I think we did what we could, and it felt like every single girl on that boat did the absolute best that they could.
Gosh, I can't even imagine the nervous energy, the anticipation as you're kind of leading up to that moment on Saturday, but now you're on the water and you talk about the 7 minutes. How quickly into the race did you as a group settle in and say, okay, you know, we know what we're doing. We're going to give it all we got and perform well.
I think like I always laugh when people ask me about the race, because usually I'm asking Bianca about the race because I don't remember it, you know. It's such an interesting race. It's because it's called a sprint, but everyone who's done a 2K knows it's not a sprint. But everyone who's done a 6K knows that it is a lot faster than a 6K. But you have little glimpses of consciousness within it. You know, like there's a joke kind of in our community where it's like, if you remember your whole 2K, you weren't pushing hard enough. So kind of like, I think the first 500 meters, also we do talk in kilometer and meters in our sport. So sorry. the first 500 or so meters, it's always super tight. You know, there's always going to be a crew that's ahead that might fall behind. You know, someone might escape early and then just leave everyone else in the back. So we kind of, as a team, knew that we wanted to battle Drexel and Villanova because those teams were 7 seconds behind us. And, you know, you never know what they can pull out in a race. You never know what adrenaline does to a crew. So we were like, we want to battle these girls and, you know, stick it out and pull away. And Northeastern, you know, they are a powerhouse team and have been a powerhouse team. And we kind of knew that first was a long shot. And all we wanted was scare them. So just to make sure that they don't get too far ahead, but we knew like it would have been too much stress to be like, let's beat them, you know? And yeah, so I think the first 500, we're all kind of battling out. We have contact with most boats and then we start to pull away. Northeastern's pulling away. Villanova and Drexel were all pulling away. And then I just remember our coxswain, we're at like 750 in. She last year picked up a fun little thing where she'll smack the boat and she gave the boat a little smack and was like, let's just get out of here. And every single girl on the boat, it's almost like you feel like a light bulb turn on and we're like, oh, you know, crap. Like, what? You know, she's right. Let's get out of here. And it's like, I swear to God, someone put a motor below the boat. We just pulled away.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we separated ourselves pretty quickly and powerfully from Drexel and Villanova. And I think every single one of us in that boat was like confident. We're like, we're not worried about these people. You know, we want to get away. And I think, you know, for me, do I remember much of what happened after that? No, but from what I was told and what like our JV and stuff like that have videos of is we were so much closer to Northeastern than every single girl in the boat thought, you know, Bianca was telling us, but you know, your brain is so fogged and not there. You know, she's telling us like we are almost on contact, which means the end of our boat is almost touching the start of Northeastern's boat. She's like, we're almost on contact. Like we're really close. And I think all of us were like processing that, but not fully taking it in. Like, oh my gosh, you know, we are this close to the fastest boat in CAAs for the past, I don't know how many years, but years ever since I've been here. And you know, we came out of it and we're super excited for second, of course. And when our coxswains and teammates showed us that video, we were like, oh my god, we were that close. We're like, what the heck? We were like, oh my god, like all of us, wow. We could have pushed harder, but you know, we totally couldn't have. But like it was one of those moments of just kind of like, oh my God, we are so much faster than what we thought because we were 5 seconds off of them. And I think every single one of us is just like, oh my goodness, if this is, you know, what it is, you know, 4 years into our school being D1, what's it going to be in the next 4 years, you know? So we're all super excited. We're so thrilled with the results, not just for the team this year, but for the next upcoming teams and the new freshmen coming in next year and all that.
Absolutely. What an honor and way to represent UC San Diego. What was it like for you having that CAA silver medal around your neck?
You know, I've never been a person who really cares about winning. That's, I think, one of my many flaws. I'm not a super competitive person when it comes to racing. The reason I have done rowing and chose rowing as my sport is because I just love the team aspect of it. So for me, like, I think a silver medal was cool. You know, I love that I was able to wear it, but I think really it was the symbolism of us getting second, which meant the most, you know, and us being able to be this team that just kind of came out of nowhere. And for all the other teams, I remember when we were walking on stage, we had a couple teams tell us like, go get Northeastern next year. And I think like that right there beats any medal. I don't need a medal. I just want to just kind of prove that, you know, you can be an underdog and, you know, like you don't need everything. And I think what our team shows is that we have so much grit and, you know, we don't get all these fancy accommodations and all these things handed to us. We really have to work for what we want. You know, most of the girls on our team aren't even on scholarship. And I think like second place really felt like first for us because we know Northeastern kind of got nervous. They were like, oh my goodness, there may be a chance that we may not win next year. And I think that's really what made us excited, is that we kind of shook CAAs a little bit.
No question. Such an impressive weekend. We're chatting with Annika Ford this week on Triton Cast. And Annika, what's your rowing story? How did you get into that sport?
You know, it's actually really funny. People always like look at me, you know, and they're like, oh, you must have done sports your whole life, you know, and I really didn't. I always tried sports. My parents were pretty big on just like trying things. If you don't like it, you don't have to do it. So, you know, of course I did soccer, basketball, volleyball, you know, all those other sports, and nothing really stuck. I did band for a long time. I was a percussionist, and then I dislocated my collarbone when I was, I think, 13 or 12. And so I kind of had to step away from volleyball and band for a year. And I was like, not super happy. I was like, what do I do? I'm not enjoying just like doing nothing. Like, I need to be doing something. I've always been that way. I always need a hobby. I always need something. And two of my friends I've known my whole life kind of like told me, they were like, you're tall, because I hit 5'11 when I was 14. They're like, you're tall, go try rowing. And I was like, no, that looks really hard. I was like, you guys are crazy for doing that. And then my sophomore year in high school, I was like, you know what? I want more friends. I don't want to just sit around at my house. I want to be a part of something. So I walked onto our team. So I'm from a smaller city in Northern California. It's called Petaluma. We have a river that runs through the whole town. So I'd always seen kayakers and rowers out, but I kind of never really connected it. But yeah, I showed up the first day and had such a blast because it's just so beautiful up there. There's just all these animals, birds. The river was super beautiful and twisted and went by all these marshes. So I was just always exposed to so much like nature and animals. And I just wanted to be a part of that every day. So yeah, it wasn't a glorious boathouse. actually, Kimberly Dale was the one who started my juniors program up in Northern California. I didn't realize that till this year. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've had connections with UC San Diego for a while and I didn't even realize it. But, you know, we didn't have a lot. But it made you appreciate the things you did have. You know, I rowed out of, our rowing machines were in a shipping container. Yeah, you know, so if it was like 80 degrees outside, you know, it's about 95 inside the container. It was a neighbors to a scrap yard. So you'd always hear just like the most loud music and just like metal thrashing sounds. But it was home. All of us who rode out of there absolutely loved it. Like, you know, drinking out of a spigot after a 2K, just being covered in so much rust and not having the option of a 20 pound dumbbell because it jumped from 15 pounds to 35 or 25. So, you know, it made me appreciate the little things, you know, like when we had a good, nice day on the water and when we got a new boat that was just, you know, beautiful. And maybe it wasn't the nicest boat in the planet, but to us, you know, it was perfect. And, you know, I think when I came to UC San Diego, even though everyone always talked about how this school didn't have as much as like UCLA or Cal or all those other schools, I was just like, you guys don't get it. I was like, we have a boathouse. I had a boatyard. You know, I was like, you guys have weights here. There's a weight room. There's all these things that I didn't ever have. And I was just super excited to be a part of something that was feeling like so high level. It felt like I made it, you know?
Yeah, that makes total sense. And what drew you to UC San Diego?
A lot, actually. So one of my friends who got me into rowing, he actually committed here back in 2020. And so I kind of had some knowledge about the teams here through him. And then one of my coaches for, I think, a year or two, she rowed here at UC San Diego. And so one of my coaches in high school. So she always told me about the team, and I was like, oh, okay. Cause I always thought I was going to end up in Oregon or Washington. I did not think I was going to be a Southern California lady, but here I am. But anyway, the big thing that my coach, Maddie Wagner, she told me that the community is what made this team special. And I remember hearing that, and I was like, okay, but what does that even mean? And now, like 3 years into it, I get it. You know, this team is really a family. Like every single girl I've rode with the past 4 years, well, 3 years, has just always been there for me. You know, like, you know, you're not going to be friends with all the girls on the team. There's about 40, 45 of us. But if you needed to talk with someone, every single girl can be someone you trust and chat with, because we're just a family, you know, we go through a lot together. And I know a lot of college teams aren't that way. And there's a lot of drama and a lot of pressure put on by the coaches. And I think what makes this team so special is the community we have and how loving and supportive our coaches are. And that they, I remember telling my mom when I decided to commit here, I was like, the reason I'm committing is because Kim and Colin put the human before the athlete. You know, at the end of the day, like, you know, I've had to take days off for my body, for my mental health, for all these things. And they let us do it because they know if you're not a happy person, you're not going to be a good rower. And I appreciate that so much about this team.
Definitely have priorities in order. You're majoring in cognitive behavioral neuroscience. What might that lead to? What would you want that to lead to?
Yeah. So I came into the school as a biochem major, and I really wanted to go in veterinary science. And then I quickly learned that's just not my cards anymore. So I kind of always have had neuroscience in my life, always just kind of peeping in here and there. And I decided to take a couple COGS classes and quickly fell in love with just like the science of the brain and kind of learning about that. So it's been bouncing around, but recently I've kind of been falling into occupational therapy with people who've had kind of like pretty intense brain trauma and spinal trauma, just kind of like getting people to function almost to back to where they were. So I just love helping people. I love making people feel strong in themselves and believe in themselves, especially when things have kind of gone astray.
You referenced it a little bit earlier when you were talking about being on the river in Petaluma and nature and so on, but you're, best I can tell, pretty outdoorsy. Where do you like to go hike and get away from campus or other stressors in life, whatever that might be?
Yeah. So I think I've always loved hiking. I grew up in Sonoma County, which is just one of the most beautiful counties. If you ever get the chance to go, you know, I grew up 20 minutes away from the Redwoods. So, you know, of course, bias, I love to go to the forests. Out here, especially, I go up to like Mount Laguna, Lake Cuyamaca, you know, Poway Mountains. Just, I'm a big mountain girl. rivers also just, they make me really happy. So usually if I'm ever hiking, somewhere in the mountains or a canyon.
And I read that you like to cook too. Is that accurate?
I do love to cook. I was vegetarian for 10 years. And just this year, I decided to move to be a pescatarian just because, just trying to maintain protein and also just expense wise. So I, when I became vegetarian, I think it was like 10 or 11, I had to learn how to cook for myself. Not all the time, but some of the time I, you know, my dad wasn't always the most knowledgeable in vegetarian food. So whenever I would be living with him, he would make potatoes and then I would learn, okay, if I wanted to add something to potatoes, I'd add, you know, a curry or something like a seared tofu. So I've always loved cooking just because for a while there, I was kind of like, I needed to, if I didn't just want to eat frozen meals.
And was that just trial and error on your part?
Oh yeah. So much trial and error. And my mom also is such an amazing cook. She would always I would always watch what she did and I'd learn from her, and a lot of my friends too, their families were vegetarian. So I'd kind of learn from them, but yeah, a lot of trial and error. I ate a lot of really not good food growing up, but I've definitely learned how to cook pretty all right. You know, I can make a good dinner for a dinner party, but it is nice, especially nowadays. I actually have a kitchen and I'm not in a dorm anymore, an on-campus apartment with a really tiny kitchen, but yeah, I really enjoy it.
What's on the menu for you these days after a long day of rowing in school?
Oh my goodness. Well, if I have the time and I'm not too tired, I usually end up making, oh my gosh, usually it's curry. I've always loved curry and it's so easy to make. So yeah, I'll do like a tofu curry. Recently I've been messing around with more tuna. I'm not a big salmon fan. I'm trying to work on that. It's hard. It's really fishy. Going from not eating any meat to eating fish is kind of a crazy transition. But yeah, curry. I love yellow curries. Any type of Indian food, I love so much. Italian food, though, is always special place in my heart. So whenever I have time, I do definitely make a lot of gnocchi with like rich pasta sauces and all that stuff.
That sounds amazing. Do you make extra so that you have some for lunch tomorrow, that kind of thing?
Yeah. I definitely meal prep when I can. It's hard to, but it saves your butt, especially when, you know, past two quarters, I was working a job rowing and then taking about 17 to 18 units a quarter. So the meal prepping was really helpful when you're really, really tired.
And what works for you in terms of that time management, in terms of keeping all of that organized?
I think having really supportive families and friends. I think that was one of the hardest things, was balancing a social life as well as working, rowing, and doing school. Having people who support you in what you do and understand that you can't always be talking with them all the time, and that sometimes you really do need to like take your time for yourself. And I think the best thing for time management is knowing when to stop, you know, and knowing when you need to just sit down and take a break, because you can only work so hard on a tired mind.
Our guest on Triton Cast this week is Annika Ford from the rowing team. Are you ready for some quick picks?
Yes.
I feel like you've sort of answered this one, but beach or mountains?
Oh, mountains fully.
Indoors or outdoors?
Outdoors.
Again, I know you've already said that too. We're easing you in here. Sunrise or sunset?
Oh, sunrise.
Ocean or pool?
Ocean.
Singing or dancing?
Singing.
Shopping in-store or online?
Oh, in-store.
Podcasts or playlists?
Oh, I'm a playlist girl. I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize to me. Calls or texts?
Hard. It depends. I like calling more because I can actually chat with people, but texts are just so easy.
So
I'd
easy.
Say calls. I'd say calls, though.
One place you've never been that you most want to visit?
Oh, Iceland. I've always wanted to trek around that place so badly.
I guess given what you've shared with us thus far, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Dreamer or realist?
It depends on the quarter. You know, I feel like fall quarter, I'm such a dreamer. I have all these like ideas of what I can do. And then spring quarter comes around and it's just realism. I just accept that time is fleeing and you just got to chug along.
Cats or dogs?
Oh, I love dogs. I have 4 dogs, so I'm a big dog girl.
Favorite topping on a pizza?
Basil.
Ooh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter, creamy or crunchy?
Oh, if any of my family or friends are listening, they're laughing because they know I like survive off of peanut butter. I love both. I don't care if it's peanut butter, it's peanut butter. I'll eat it.
So if you're going shopping, which one are you grabbing?
Really? I just kind of like roll my car into the peanut butter aisle. I just make sure there's not a lot of added sugar and I just grab whatever.
I want to know what store you're shopping at that there's a whole aisle of peanut butter.
Oh, Trader Joe's is a whole, not aisle, but like a whole like section of just peanut butter. And I just kind of walk in and I grab one.
I know, but we can hear your eyes lighting up talking about it.
Yeah.
Favorite food overall?
Oh, I love Italian food. I'd say pastas.
Okay. What's one thing about you that would surprise even your friends?
Oh my goodness. I tell my like everyone everything. Oh, I don't know. It's a good question.
We could pause and come back to that one.
I may have to come back to that one.
Favorite streaming service?
Recently, Disney Plus, because The Mandalorian is really good.
Sold. Favorite ice cream flavor?
It's controversial, but pistachio.
Not controversial if it's your favorite.
I tell my friends I love pistachio and they call me an old lady. I'm just like, you just have to have it. It's good.
Cup or cone?
Cup.
Which one of your teammates is the funniest?
Ooh. Oh my gosh, that's so hard because we have so many funny people on this team. I got to give it just because of this weekend, Caroline Gross. We had a mic in the bus and she just had her own stand-up comedy show every time we were driving in that bus. So that girl is hilarious. Love her so much.
Was it PG?
Yeah, I'd say like PG-13.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
A little edgy.
No shame in that. Which one of your teammates, maybe it's you, is the best cook?
Oh gosh, probably not me. I feel like there's got to be someone who's really good. I just don't know. Most of us are so tired that like cooking. Oh, I don't know. I'll have to figure that out now. I'm going to be asking for people to cook me dinner now.
There you go. You'll have to let us know in a future episode.
I will.
Favorite type of music?
Oh, I listen to everything, but I always fall back to like classic rock from like the 70s and 60s. It's always my favorite.
Can't go wrong with that. Annika, we'll end here. If you could play one other sport for one day at UC San Diego, which sport would you choose to play?
Oh, I would so play water polo. I've been talking to some of the polo girls and we want to try to do a swap day. But hopefully that comes up in our future.
Have you ever dabbled before?
No, but I got some exposure to water polo. I was doing a lot of open water swimming this summer and a couple of my friends and I were just in there and my boyfriend brought his water polo ball and we were doing some drills out there and I just absolutely fell in love with it and would love to give it a little try.
So you've got a head start if you're doing drills in open water already.
hopefully.
Love it. Annika, thanks so much for joining us this week.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much to Annika for taking the time to chat with us here on the pod. It's so amazing to hear about the fantastic camaraderie they've developed within that program. You can learn more about Annika and her Triton teammates on ucsdtritons.com. Be sure you're subscribed to TritonCast on your favorite podcasting platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of TritonCast premiere on Wednesdays. Well, thank you for listening this week. And don't forget, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching TritonCast wherever you get your pods. A reminder, you can listen to any of our 97 episodes anytime on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on TritonCast, follow us on X at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, send us a tweet or email us. at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.